Alice Alves here with an update on really interesting your report this week, Alice, especially as you're talking about what's going on with the realtor lawsuits. Give us an update. Good to have you.
Hi, Dave, and hi, everyone. There's a lot of talk about the lawsuits that are between the different real estate entities, the National Association of Realtors, and the Department of Justice that I thought it would be a great topic for this group to talk a little bit about. And what I wanted to do was just start out with some of the basics. Have any of you watched the show Suits on Netflix? It is attorneys, and during the episodes, they get so into the legal gamification of law that Andy and I are like, okay, wait a minute. What was that? What just happened? And it's craziness. And I promise I don't want to make this part of the podcast about that, right?
So this isn't going to be a Suits episode, huh?
Okay. A Suits episode. I don't want to get that. We'll say that for qualified people like Mitch Kiner, but I just wanted to talk about it from a practical standpoint and from a just a human standpoint, and just from the facts of what is, from my perspective, and going on as I see it out there. So essentially, if you say we've got class action lawsuits that are going on that are talking about the anti-competitive nature about the way real estate commission is structured. My first house that I bought back in the 70s, to me, it was sold to me. That was just a sharing of commission, right? The commission was 6%, and here's two people who are sharing. The realtors really sell that point. There's a lot that they're selling about that. Today, with these lawsuits, they really are trying to decouple that. There is history on this that goes all the way back to really 1990 was one of the first cases. Some of these other cases started in 2005, where it just seems like there's always this pressure to change how the National Association of Realtors really structures the transaction. And does a buyer know or believe that they can negotiate their commission? Or is it all set? You all know when you go to list a home, you're writing that commission number in the listing agreement. And does that carve that out in stone? So I think I'm really interested in this group's thoughts on what the real impact is of this. From what we're reading today, these cases are still going to go back and forth in court over and over again. This could drag out for years in the courts before there's anything very formal that occurs. What I am seeing is some strong recommendations for buyer's agents to make sure that they have an agreement with their customer so it clearly identifies their service is not free and the seller is paying for it. There are definitely some nuances in the day-to-day that to me are a little challenging and fall in that anti-competitive structure, which is you have to be a broker in the National Association of Realtors to gain access to a house, for example. Now, again, I'm not an attorney and somebody might say, no, you can do this, that, or that to be able to get to show a home. But as far as access to that lockbox, it's my understanding you have to make sure you're part of that real estate network. You also have to make sure that you're putting in a number when the house is listed on what is the buyer's agent getting paid. And recently, I think that was shown to say that it could be zero. I think I'd love to have this group's thoughts on where you think this is today and where you think it will be. And so that's my $5,000 consumer snapshot. How's that?
Yeah. One of the things, Alice, is from your perspective, and I've been tracking this pretty well, but I honestly haven't been paying attention in the last few weeks. Has there been any recent rulings that have stood out in your mind that have made adjustments on this? The one that I'm reading is not so much the ruling from the courts, but the Department of Justice has weighed in fairly significantly recently saying that I don't care what the courts say, this is the way it's going to be. Which is seems to be a politicalization of what's going on here. Is that going to override everything? So there's the what's going on in the courts, and then you have the DOJ, Department of Justice, who is saying, okay, lawsuits aside, here's what we're saying. Has there been, have you had a chance to sort through some of that?
So the Department of Justice, let me go back to some of my notes here. They continue to investigate NAR on this. They were investigating them back in 2005 related to the virtual broker. So there was issues back then with some anti-competitiveness with NAR needing to open up more to lower commission rates for virtual brokerage firms that didn't have the same amount of overhead. And there was a 10-year settlement back then. That started opening up hearings again then with the DOJ in about 2018 when that 10-year agreement expired in 2019. I think the final settlement here right now is something that we have to look at as an industry, or they are looking at as an industry, and do they need to change some habits? But the DOJ isn't going to back down right now. I don't profess to be a lawyer, but it is multifaceted. There's the Mueller case. There's the Sister Burnett lawsuit. There are now that there was this case that was settled October 31st, and that's the big one that was hitting the news at the, I think it was $1.3 or $1.8 billion. Mm-hmm. That seems to have now opened up multiple lawsuits that these plaintiff attorneys are going to go after. The ripple effect's going to continue, I think.
The thing that's most surprising is that National Association of Realtors has not gone to a globalist settlement on this. That's the part that's probably been the biggest head scratcher for me. Let's bring in our panelists on this. David Kittle, let's start off with you. What are you hearing out there as the president, co-founder of TMC? I know you and your members are watching this closely.
We are, David. It's a mess. I think hindsight's always perfect. They probably didn't address this nationally as quickly as they should have. I think that's obvious, but it's causing a lot of problems because people don't know how to deal with it. And people who have bought homes several times have never had to do it before. So it's a huge change for somebody that's repetitive. It might be, and I don't know this, a little bit easier for a first-time home buyer to understand it than somebody who's my age or your age and had bought multiple houses. But it's causing a lot of problems.
Yeah. Mark, your thoughts?
I've owned two real estate companies in my past, and I can't put any words around this other than two initials, BS. I think it's the most ridiculous thing we're dealing with this at this point in time. Sometimes people just look for something to do, and I think that's one of these examples. I don't think it's going to serve any good purposes out there. You still have that dilemma. If one person lists the house and sell it, they're still going to get all the commission, I think, the way I read it. That's fine, but it's a system that worked extremely well. There was compromises realtors could make when they're trying to help a buyer get in a house. I've seen each side reduce commissions a half a point and all that. I don't know why this has come up for an issue and this has escalated to the level it is, but I think it is pure bullshit. And they just need to, you can blank that out if you want to. But I'm just sorry that we got to deal with it in the industry today, because I think it's going to be more of a detriment to everybody involved than it's going to be a positive.
Yeah,
amen, Mr. Helm.
Yeah. Calling it like it is, BS. Bullshit. All right. Corbett, what's your thoughts, Bill?
So I'm in agreement with Mark, but I also think that the cat has been let out of the bag and momentum starts to take over, number one. And number two, it's adding a lot of confusion and noise to a real estate market right now that ought to be focused entirely on how to support home sale activity, getting more houses on the market, getting the turnover that not just our industry, but the entire economy needs. I think there's also one of the consequences of this, and I think one of the drivers is to really squeeze out the whole buyer's agent and squeeze them out by making that be paid for outside of the commission, which then starts to mess with borrower funds to close and brings up a whole nother set of issues. Having said that, and the real estate industry has held on to their close to 6% lock on commissions way longer than any other similar type of commission business has, in terms of, you know, competent driving out competition and keeping the status quo. And when you do that for too long, it tends to blow up in a pretty ugly way.
Matt Graham, you watch the markets and what's going on. Any chatter on your commentary that you have up there and yours, all the feedback that comes in from those that are subscribers to MBS Live?
Yeah, nothing much other than just, hey, can you believe this stuff, and passing around links and sharing the news. I haven't heard a lot about how it's affecting boots on the ground, mostly because people are too busy freaking out about how high rates are and how low volume is.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of there's a good number of factors into this that enter in. First of all, there are the lawsuits. We've been tracking this closely. We've had some really good interviews. I'll put those links in the podcast down below. But I'm telling you, we're in a place where there's two issues going on, Alice, in my mind. You have the DOJ who's asserting their will, and we're in an election year. And so this is going to play out for a while. I don't think we're anything is going to happen in the short term. I think what's really the people that are closest to this says that this is not going to really change things. What's going to happen is a realtor is going to have to be much more effective at selling what they do, their services. They're going to have to list out what they do. And there's new services that are coming out that are enabling the realtor and how to market their services. I think this is actually a huge opportunity for mortgage loan originators to come alongside of realtors and help them explain what they do. There's 200 points of services. I'm thinking about our RESPA, Alice, and what we had was 11 points that you have to do in order, a realtor has to do in order to be able to earn a commission. There's 200 points of services that they have. And when you start listing out all the services that they do, it's going to cost for the realtor to up their game to explain what is it you're getting, buyer, as a result of my involvement in this. And I think those that do a better job at that are the ones that are going to excel, and the ones that don't are not. And I thought this was going to resolve itself much more.
It's going to end up costing those companies a lot of money to keep fighting this in court. I think you bring up a great point that really today, realtors and mortgage lenders alike should be banding together on this and make sure they're supporting what the value of the buyer's agent is, how that compensation works. Sometimes all it takes is a few bad actors out there who go, no, my service is free, to prompt something like this when it's one of those 98% of them are doing it well and ethically. And then there's something out there that catches the DOJ's attention. And I don't know if that's the behind the scenes of it, but I know in the mortgage space, sometimes that's typically what ends up happening, is a couple of bad actors or some kind of advertising, the DOJ or other regulator gets involved. The idea that the buyer may now have to start paying commission, if these suits are settled to the negative for NAR, and you say, okay, what is the outcome then to say the seller is no longer paying that buyer's agent commission? That's one small piece in the overall housing market. The housing market is mortgage rates. It is supply and demand. Way down the list is, and the few percentage points related to the commission. So will it be tougher for buyers who have to try and figure out how to get that paid? Will they end up trying to negotiate that through the sale price? And it'll probably just end up back where it is, where they'll just negotiate.
I think that's where it's going to come back to, is it's going to be really a whole lot of to do, a whole lot, billions of dollars in fines and fees. And it's going to come back to pretty much the way it is and has been, is what the
Got a problem with seller compensation, or seller contributions to the deal. Then I think the agency would be forced to go back and look at that, and hopefully they would exclude this. But there's a ripple effect in that direction.
It's good that you bring it up, because the biggest issue has been the Department of Justice weighing in on this and putting their finger on the scale to weigh it, to go a particular direction. They basically said, we don't really care which way these lawsuits are going to go. We're just saying that the seller cannot pay the buyer's commission, period, end of story. It's going to go this way, which then opens up a new can of worms, which means goes back to Fannie and Freddie. Can it be financed? A whole lot of issues. So stay tuned. We'll be on top of it. Anything else that's going on out there, Alice, that we need to be aware of?
I think that was the main topic for today, Dave. I'll turn it back to you guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.